Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio. Welcome to the Praise podcast for the 24th of March 2019. And I have some very special guests for you on today's programme. A bus, yes, a bus, and some recent visitors, the presidency of the Methodist Church in Britain. And we'll end with a story of truly amazing generosity. But let's start with music, a hymn written in the 19th century, but with a message as strong as ever. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour, sung there by the Celebration Singers. And so to my special guests, two people who currently lead the Methodist Church in Britain, of which the Methodist Church here in the Isle of Man forms a part. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the programme this week the presidency of the Methodist Church in Britain. And I use that term very carefully, because when we use the words president and vice president, there is an implication that maybe the vice president is somebody who is waiting to take over the presidency. But here we have equal partners, and something that goes back to the historic tradition of Methodism, when the Wesleyan Church and the Primitive Methodist Church joined together, and their leadership was respectively an ordained person and a lay person, and that was a condition of the coming together. And it's that coming together that's respected in the appointments that have continued year on year. And this year, it's Reverend Michaela Youngson and Bala, help me please.
Jnana Prigasam.
Thank you. Are you happy to be called Bala?
Yes, of course. Please do.
Now, you've been in office together since June of last year, and in true Wesleyan tradition have been travelling around. Michaela, Are you having a good time?
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm getting to meet lots and lots of great people and see all sorts of fabulous projects, some of which are really transformational for people's lives.
You can write a blog, you can share some of those travels and thoughts that inspire you. Bala, do you think that brings a richness to what you've been doing over this year?
Yes, it does. You see something and then you are able to instantly let other people know what you have seen. And to be able to share the impact that Methodists are having around the country.
Michaela, I know that one of your great passions is to work ecumenically, but what would you say is distinctive about Methodism?
I think we have a joint commitment to spiritual holiness and social holiness. Social holiness is particularly two elements to it. One is that we don't do our faith on our own. We do it in a social context, but also a social justice element to the heart of our faith. So John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, was very keen to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and God's love to farmers, to labourers on the land, to miners and fishermen. So this would be a prime patch for him to be able to tell his message. He was very keen to set up orphan houses. He set up projects helping miners in Cornwall. But he, right at the beginning of Methodism, set up projects that were about lifting up the vulnerable and the downtrodden. And that's very much at the heart of what the Methodist Church does today.
We are seeing so much social need. And increasingly, I get the impression that it is the churches of all denominations that are going to meet this need.
Yes, I have been impressed with the response of the local church. They are stepping into all sorts of areas where their need is. Hostel for rough sleepers or food banks. The list is endless. I think it's a sad reflection of the space we live in. But I am really proud that Christians are rising to the challenge. That is the fundamentals of our calling.
One of the reasons Methodists are called Methodists is because we're quite methodical. We do have structures. We're not very hierarchical. And that's the reason that the president and vice president only do the job for a year. We wouldn't want anyone to get too big for their boots for too long. But we have systems in place that are about using our resources and being able to channel those resources to where they're needed most.
Bala, you're from Sri Lanka. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I was born in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, the capital city. I was born into an Anglican family, very devout Christian Anglican family. I'm absolutely certain that if not for my mother, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. For her, Christianity was important. Her spiritual journey was remarkable. She was very close to God. She had a transactional conversation with God. Her prayers were transactional. And she would tell God off, saying, "Why are you doing this to me?" So I grew up in a Christian family where my mother and father were very, very spiritual and totally committed Christians. However, they sent me to a Methodist Sunday school, and that's how I ended up as a Methodist. She registered me in the cradle roll, and when I left Sri Lanka, I was a Sunday school teacher in the church that I went to as long as I can remember. So for me, my mother's faith and the closeness that she had with God made a massive difference. Let me tell you one other story. On a Sunday, my lunch dependent on whether I was able to memorize paragraphs of the Bible. And I'm so grateful to my mother for forcing me to study the Bible, which has come in so helpful in my faith journey since. In 1965, I left Sri Lanka to go to England to do my engineering studies. I was in Southampton and I qualified as electronic engineer and then went into the telecommunications industry. So I worked for BT for about 25 years and then two other companies since.
And through that time, was your Methodism still a big part of your life?
Yes, I was not as active as I am today, but I was very much involved in my local church, the church that I now go to. I've been there nearly 50 years.
That's wonderful, because people who have a long association with a church have a lot to give to newcomers, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. And as you were speaking, I was thinking back, and there were two brothers who were in the church in Peckham, where I worship. And they welcomed me, and we got into the type of conversations, almost like mentoring. And that was 50 years ago, and I still remember it. And they were very helpful in guiding. In fact, one of the older brothers, Harold, I used to go meet with him fairly regularly and we would have one-to-one Bible study, and it became a conversation in the end. He would get me to write short paragraphs about the story of the Bible, for example, and we'll sit there, have the conversation about what I've written, and of course he was a local preacher trainer as well. So I used to have an absolutely fantastic time getting into the discussion of the Bible, and more importantly, how does it relate to the world we live in today? That was great.
Michaela, can I ask you the same question? Tell me a little bit about your faith journey.
Yes, my mum was very committed to the local Methodist church and also the Salvation Army. I think she was covering all her bases, and she would go to the Methodist Sunday school in a morning, the Methodist service in an afternoon, and then the Salvation Army songsters in an evening. But when she married my dad, he was very much an atheist and occasionally agnostic, and she really didn't go to church for quite a few years. So faith was in the family, but I wasn't very conscious of it. But when I was 11, a mission group from a college called Cliff College in Derbyshire set up in our local recreation ground in the village that I lived in. And a friend at school said, come along, there's this activity at the rec ground, and went along. And each day I learnt a little bit like Bala, I learnt a Bible passage. And then the next day, if you remembered it, they'd put a little stamp in a book. And if you had enough stamps at the end of the week, you got a present. And I got a present. So I thought, well, I'd like some more presents. So I started going to Sunday school. I didn't get a present every week at Sunday school. So that was in my local Methodist church in the village. And my family life was a little bit disrupted. It was a bit chaotic. I wasn't always sure what the atmosphere was going to be like when I got home from school. Dad was into alcohol in an unhealthy way. And church was this constant place where I was loved, I was welcomed. They valued me, even though me and my twin sister were from the scruffy end of the village and the church was a bit at the posher end of the village. That never mattered. They just made us very welcome. So my journey began by feeling loved unconditionally, and learning about God through people who really knew how to put love into action.
Both of your stories are so moving because it is just in what church is about.
I hope so, because my passion is that all churches will be what my home church was for me, that place of security, of love, of a place that seemed to exude light. There was a lightness about the place. And, you know, frail, ordinary human beings just like the rest of us, but somehow, because they knew they were loved, they were able to love. And if I can pass a tiny little bit of how that makes me feel onto other people, then that's just wonderful.
My special guests today are Reverend Michaela Youngson and Bala Nyanaprakasam, who together lead the Methodist Church in Britain, of which the Methodist Church here on the island forms a part. Returning now to the conversation I recorded whilst they were visiting us a couple of days ago, I asked first Michaela, then Bala, if on their travels they'd seen anything which had really touched or inspired them.
There are so many. A recent one that comes to mind is last week in the Northampton district, Bala and I visited a project called Second Helpings, and it's set up in Stamford Methodist Church, and it's a joint church and community project. And we arrived, and I was number 111 on the counter, as they counted us in, to go and receive food. It was a three-course meal, two choices for each course. I had a wonderful pasta bake. And all that food had been donated by supermarkets in the area. It's food that would have been thrown away otherwise. So there was so much in that project. It was preventing the waste of perfectly good food. It was feeding people who were rich and poor alike, sat next to each other, all ages, one in a high chair and a 97-year-old in the same room. So it was providing society, company, but also other food that they hadn't used on the Saturday, and they do this every week, was going into a community fridge so people could go and just help themselves from the fridge exposure to fresh produce, and it was supplementing what the local food bank was doing. And so there were so many ways, and it was like feeding the 5,000, you know, from very little and from things that would have been thrown away. There was an absolute feast, and that's just brilliant.
That was a really inspiring afternoon for me. 100 people were fed, and it didn't matter where you came from, what your background was, truly all were welcome. And that is a very powerful message. That particular church was able to get across to the people in that area. As Michaela said, it was truly inspiring, and I wish we could do that more.
Michaela, I have to confess that I really would like to kneel at your feet and just say that I admire so much anybody who does Thought for the Day on national radio, and you do. That's not just interdenominational, that's interfaith. How do you do it? What are you thinking when you're preparing what you're going to say?
So much depends on whether I get an idea or not. And you'll know this as a broadcaster, especially if you're doing stuff live, is you need a hook to hang a story on. So if I can find a good human story, start there and then imagine that I'm talking to my mum, because my mum is a real classic Radio 2 listener. So if I'm telling my mum the story with the same warmth and the same tone that I would use with her, then Vanessa, who is the presenter I usually work with, Vanessa Feltz, is going to warm to it. And hopefully, however many ridiculous number of people are listening, they're going to hear that message as well.
There are a lot of people listen, because we no longer have night and day people, really. There's so much shift working, and Vanessa Feltz sounds like she likes you. Does she put you at your ease? Is it a nice, easy relationship?
It's a lovely relationship. She has good days and bad days, like all of us. But yeah, we do warm. The thing to do on the whole is ask her about her grandchildren, and then she'll forgive you anything, like most grandmas.
Bala, if I could ask you, when you finish this year of office, will it have changed you, do you think?
Forever. This year has been so different. I've been to so many different places, met so many different people, and engaged with fellow Christians who are living out their calling. And how can that not change you? It's impossible to go back to where I was. The passion that Michaela and I have for social justice is rekindled, and it's on fire. Engaging with fellow Methodists who have the same passion, but more importantly, are doing something about it. Fantastic.
Well, you've certainly been inspirational for me. I love talking to you, Michaela Bala. Thank you very much indeed for being here on the island. And thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Judy.
Delighted to be here. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Unfortunately, due to fog over Ronald's Way on Wednesday, Michaela and Bala were a day late arriving on the island, so sadly they missed the blessing of a bus. Not just any bus. In fact, it's called Bus Ni Banachtin, a bus of blessings, a specially adapted vehicle that's going to be out and about all over the island in the weeks and months to come. With the bus parked outside the Methodist Church in Peel, we gathered together first for a time of prayer and worship in words and music, led by Reverend Richard Hall and Reverend Andy Fishburne. Then, braving the rain, we went outside for the actual blessing of the bus.
We all want to be in contact with the vehicle. If you can't be in touching it, then hold hands with somebody else who is. Okay, have we got contact with it? Can I have somebody's hands, please? There we go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this vehicle and for the gift that it is and will be to us, to the community all over this island. And we thank you that it's a gift from you. And as we've seen it transformed by the gifts and talents that people have used, so we want to see it now transformed by the power of your Spirit. We thank you that we can already feel that that's happening, Lord. And we pray that as the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by, that this vehicle will become known as a blessing from you, that it will be used to change hearts and minds and lives. So we dedicate it, every part of it, to you, and pray that you would take it and use it to the glory of your name and for the building up of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
After he'd prayed that blessing, I asked Reverend Richard Hall, leader of the Methodist Church on the island, if this is something totally new.
You know what? It actually has a historical root, because all the time I've been here, people have been telling me about a deaconess that used to have a caravan on the island many, many, many years ago, and significant people whose lives were changed by that ministry. And when I say significant, I mean, you know, people that are still very much at work in the life of the church today. So in one sense, there's a kind of a continuity, but yeah, refreshed for this generation. And hopefully that's the impact that it will have out on the streets, that people will see it in various places, obviously right through the summer when we've got visitors on the island, but that it will be a welcoming space for people to come and to just take space, take time. It has prayer stations in it, it's got the facilities for making drinks, and you know, I can't claim any responsibility for the vision for this. It was amongst our younger ministers that this was something, you know, why, we could do this, why don't we? And it probably was a building on the prayer events that we had during last year. But yeah, it was a vision of a couple of our young ministers, and they've made it happen. So that's great.
And one of those younger ministers who added a lot of the creative touches in the bus, such as display boards, craft and art materials, is Methodist minister in the west of the island, Reverend Andy Fishburne.
Yeah, it's been a good fun project to do, and it's something I've never heard of this done before. I don't think I've ever heard of a blessing bus before, so that's a new thing. I mean, Methodism, it was originally about changing the way that we did things so that we could reach new generations.
Reverend Steve Ingruel from Onchan actually found the vehicle in the UK and realised that it could be transformed from a motorway restroom to a very different place of peace. Steve is away on sabbatical now, but I had a word with Simon Young, who, with his wife Sue and help from Gareth Moore, have done a tremendous amount of the transformation work.
Lots of bits and pieces, you know, to just put, tidy it up, put it all together, and that type of thing.
Because it had been in a hard-working environment, the bus,
yes,
hadn't it?
It was a welfare van which worked on the motorways in the UK. So it was men who had been digging the roads, had a bit of respite in that, washed their hands, had a coffee, and that type of thing. But now we've tidied it up a little bit.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
When we first had the idea and discussed what we were going to get, because that was the first decision, what exactly were we going to find? Steve worked out that the welfare van would be ideal because it's got all the facilities in that we actually need. And we threw the ideas around of, let's have an awning, which is, we've got the awning on it. Let's have, we've got a rail around the side that will sit outside, that will go in the grass or ground, and put some chairs out in that, then decorate it inside so that it's a pleasant place to go and pray. And that's the whole point about it, to be able to pray and bless people.
So now it's just going to be interesting to see where it goes.
Exactly that. Yeah. And the idea is that for the whole of, you know, the Methodist community or our friends, you know, they can use it and take it out to places and invite people in just to talk about God. That's the whole thing about it, just to pray for them and to talk about the Lord.
And that's wonderful. And the nice thing is also that it's a right-sized, can be driven on a normal driving licence. It's not going to require somebody who's got maybe a special licence for carrying people around.
No, and that was part of the decision, to, the way we did it, too, so we could drive it on the licence. We got the insurance. Fantastic deal on the insurance. Everything that has happened with this bus has just fallen into place, and so it's obviously the will of the Lord.
How great is our God.
Also look out for the bus Nibbanakatin, offering hospitality, refreshment, friendship and prayer. Truly a bus of blessings. This week, we've watched in horror as Cyclone Idai has devastated huge swathes of southern Africa. Worst affected are areas of Zimbabwe and Mozambique, with hundreds dead and tens of thousands homeless, with those totals rising every day. International aid agencies are responding, but so many roads have been washed away that homeless people are stranded, drinking contaminated water and without food. It's an appalling tragedy with no quick or easy solutions. Zimbabwe itself is in the middle of an economic crisis, but this has not stopped an unprecedented community aid effort. Pictures have emerged of people queuing, not to collect fuel or bread, but to donate their food, clothes and other items to the relief effort. At a Presbyterian church in the capital, Harare, one woman arrived having walked for 2 hours to bring her donation. She said she couldn't afford the bus fare, so walked from home because Jesus had told her to. Among her donations was a pot, a blanket, some of her own clothes and a towel. She gave away things that she couldn't really spare because she saw that there were those who had nothing. I'll be talking to a representative of CAFOD, one of the aid agencies working in the stricken area, on Praise next week for a complete report on the situation. Thank you for listening to this week's Praise podcast. There's a new Praise podcast available every Sunday morning. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts and Spotify via the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Praise blog, the home of our church notice board. Go to manxradio.com, on the homepage, click on air, and on the drop-down menu, follow the link for blogs. So, till we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love every blessing in the days ahead.